It's that time of the year again, the Academy Awards. And who better to talk to about Oscar than Leonard? Leonard Maltin is a film critic and movie historian. He's in his 24th season with Entertainment Tonight and is the author of Leonard Maltin's 2006 Movie Guide. He joins us from his home in Los Angeles, California. Leonard Maltin, thanks for joining us again on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Well, as a guest on Person to Person would say, thanks, Ed.
Leonard, we want
to
talk...
For those of you old enough to remember Person to Person with Edward R. Murrow, I've just now dated myself hopelessly. But there you go. Perhaps people who have seen Good Night and Good Luck will get the reference.
Good Night and Good Luck, a wonderful movie. We're going to talk about that. Leonard, I want to talk about the Academy Awards in a minute. But first, was it a good year for the box office overall? It still seems as if there's just negative sentiment about the movie-going experience as we look back over the last 12 months.
It wasn't a good year for the box office. In fact, Hollywood, as we discussed the last time we spoke, is in a real state of crisis because... Although the early part of the year, there were films that just didn't interest people. Starting in the summer, there were films they really thought would draw crowds that didn't. And in the fall, there were a lot of first-rate movies that critics liked that the audiences didn't show up for either. They finally got their numbers up with some of the blockbusters and some of the year-end films. But overall, it was not a good year. There was a lot of hand-wringing, and there was a lot of second-guessing as to what went wrong and how... They're going to get people back into the movie-going habit when they've, for the most part, lost them.
Mm. Later in the show, we're airing an interview we did with Hustle and Flow director Craig Brewer. We remember from talking to you a year ago that Hustle and Flow was one of your sleeper hits for the upcoming year.
Absolutely, and there's an example of a film that was extremely well-received. It was a sensation at the Sundance Festival. That's where it was acquired by Paramount Classics. They saw great potential in the film. And while it was successful for a modest movie, it didn't make the goals that they had set for it. And that's because it was a tough sell. It's a film that's about a ghetto pimp in Memphis. It was not a ghetto movie. It was just a good movie. It was a good movie with a great story. And despite its somewhat seamy trappings, it was really kind of an old-fashioned film about a guy who has a dream. An unlikely dream that he makes come true. But it was hard to get wide audiences and people who go to see Sundance-type movies to break through that barrier and give this film a try.
Mm. Leonard, you've said that the movie industry is going to have to figure out how to get people back into the habit of going to their local theater. What trends could you identify that you think might actually help them? I mean, I don't know, more luxury theaters, better food, bigger screens, smaller screens. What's out there for the movie industry?
Well, first they have to do better movies. I think that years ago somebody said there's nothing wrong with the movie industry that good movies can't cure. And it's a truism that has spanned the years quite successfully, I think. But as I say, even good movies weren't drawing people. If they were willing to turn things around, which they're not, so this is all very utopian now with this conversation, if they were willing to say, all right, maybe we goofed by putting out the films on DVD quite so soon, that might turn things around, but they're not going to reverse themselves on that. And I think that's the biggest problem they faced is that they created this problem for themselves. This past week, both Walk the Line and Pride and Prejudice, major Oscar nominees, which are still playing in theaters, came out on DVD. Now, how are you going to get people to keep going to theaters to see those films?
And I guess you're saying that there isn't a good answer.
There is no good answer to that. I'm afraid not. At a time when it took 6 months, 8 months for a film to get to DVD, there was more of an incentive to see it in theaters because, you know, you were impatient. You want to see it. You heard it was good. All right, let's go see this movie. Now, when the window has shrunk to just a couple of months, people given the choice of saying, should we go out and pay $50 for an evening out with the admission price and the refreshments and maybe parking and maybe a babysitter? Or should we just wait and rent it from Netflix for $2? Are saying, we'll wait.
My natural next question is, Leonard, where do you see this industry 5 years from now, given the trends that you're talking about?
I'm not sure, and neither is anybody else, because people still do want to go out to the movies. It's still a social experience. It's something people like to do and want to do. But an increasing number of people are finding it either too expensive, too inconvenient, too unpleasant. A lot of people just don't like the movie-going experience anymore. They don't like the people they have to jostle with. They don't like the theaters. They don't like the expense. I don't know how you cure that. And here's the irony. One of the things that really annoys people is all the advertising that they get before the film comes on. Theater owners are saying, well, we're just going to have to sell more advertising to make up for the shortfall in admission.
In one of the stock market advisory services I oversee, we've recommended IMAX partly through the belief that IMAX will take off in popularity. Not that it'll rule the world, but that increasingly theater operators will start saying, yeah, we should get one of those. Because you have to make the experience more special than you can get in your home theater, or maybe more special than the movie-going experience is today. And we kind of think that IMAX could do that. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree, and for that I just turned to history as my teacher. Back in the 50s when television was new, what did Hollywood do? Hollywood invented CinemaScope, Cinerama, 3D, all of these big, elaborate processes that you couldn't duplicate at home on your TV screen. So this is just an echo of that.
Leonard Maltin, let's move now from the business of Hollywood to the business of the Oscars. What effect does an Oscar nomination have on a film's box office performance, and do historical results there suggest that they'll continue?
It again depends on the specific film. Now, this year, as has been widely noted, most of the nominees are smaller films, not big blockbuster movies, not mainstream films, and so the Oscar means an enormous amount, has and continues to. A colleague of mine hadn't seen Transamerica, went to see it here in the suburbs of Los Angeles last weekend on a Sunday afternoon, figured they could just stroll into the theater, he and his companion, and instead the place was packed. Why was it packed? This is a little independent movie. It was packed because they heard about the Oscar-nominated performance of Felicity Huffman.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Leonard, but there seems to be a growing discrepancy between what does well at the box office and what does well at the Academy Awards. None of the top 10 domestic grossing films in 2005 are nominated for Best Picture or Best Director, and that list includes Star Wars Episode III, Harry Potter Goblet of Fire, Chronicles of Narnia, War of the World, King Kong, etc.
Absolutely true and absolutely understandable. First off, that's consistent with Oscar history. They tend not to recognize the, you know, the popcorn movies, like King Kong, or in past years, Star Wars or Indiana Jones, or films of that nature. They give them technical awards. They don't give them the prestige awards. Mm-hmm. And so that's nothing new. What is sort of new and different is that this award comes from the mainstream Hollywood movie industry. And even they are recognizing that the best films have not come from their midst.
Mm. Leonard, I want to spot you up with this year's Best Picture nominees, five of them, and get your one-sentence take on each. Let's kick it off with Brokeback Mountain.
This is the most talked-about movie of the year and the most talked-about movie in the Oscar race. Whether talked-about means awarded, I'm not sure. But it certainly has a lot of support, a lot of passionate support from people, not just for the film itself, but what it signifies in terms of consciousness raising and breaking down some social barriers. I think it is being honored as much for that as for the film itself.
Next one up, Good Night and Good Luck.
A really first-rate film of some social weight and significance, really well done.
Crash.
A really provocative film that obviously caught the Academy voters' attention, as well as moviegoers. It's been kind of a sleeper this past year.
Capote.
Excellent film in every way, with a first-time screenwriter's work on display, a first-time fiction feature director's work, and the crowning achievement of a really wonderful actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And finally, Munich.
A film I consider deeply flawed, still worthwhile, but deeply flawed. But the Academy respects Steven Spielberg, quite obviously, and they also are suckers for any film that tackles an important subject, mm-hmm. as this one does.
What was, in short, the flaw?
I think it was highly uneven in its storytelling. I think it lost its focus and its thrust.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who felt that Spielberg might have rushed the film out in December, and that had he had more time, it might have been better crafted in the end result. But then again, it was a film that was troubled and had several script revisions, major script revisions along the way.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to give you the magic wand, the Leonard Maltin magic wand. Let you wave it, and you may change any of those. Brokeback Mountain, Good Night and Good Luck, Crash, Capote in Munich. Would you change any of those, swap that one out, and magically put in another title instead?
Well, I put in a title no one's ever heard of, so that just makes me sound like I'm a fancier of the obscure and the arcane.
I'm still interested, though. What would it be?
Well, the best film I saw last year was a foreign language film, a Danish film called Brothers, that was at the Sundance Film Festival, that was released by Focus Features, a division of Universal, last year, that was made by a very talented filmmaker named Suzanne Beer, and that stars Connie Nielsen, who is a Hollywood leading lady, who went back to her homeland to make this extraordinary film, which is out on DVD and which I can't recommend highly enough.
Thank you.
Brothers.
Which film's going to win?
Well, I suppose Brokeback Mountain's going to win because it's been winning everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the smart money is on Brokeback Mountain.
Leonard Maltin is a film critic and movie historian. He's in his 24th season with Entertainment Tonight and is the author of the annual book, Leonard Maltin's Movie Guide. Of course, this year it's Leonard Maltin's 2006 Movie Guide. He joined us from his home in Los Angeles, California. Leonard, thanks for joining us again on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. That's why God made the movie.